following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Green 19 Packers podcast, presented by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. This is Jim Ozarski, along with my partner, Tom Silverstein. We are back. It's been a while. I know you guys have been waiting. We have been waiting. Thank you for your patience. And we are here to open our 2020 podcast season spoon, I guess you'd say. We are training camp begins formally 3 weeks late here this weekend. And, it's been a little bit. How have you been?
Well, I'm not sure we were ever going to get to this spot. I had my doubts. I think there's still a long way to go before we see a game or we see multiple games or we see a season. It's been interesting to watch. I've spent a lot of time reading and experiencing the whole COVID thing personally, and then I didn't get it, but you know, there's a new way of life. And I think football players are finding that to be the case. And so much is different. This training camp is like nothing I've ever experienced. And it's weird for me that 2 weeks in, you know, usually around this time, they would be playing the first preseason game on Saturday. So it's really kind of throws you off.
It, for sure. And that's saying something, Spoon, because you just started covering the league shortly after the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
Seriously.
After World War II.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, it's to get to this point, obviously, you know, there were no off-season camps, mini camps, rookie camps, OTA, and the start of training camp was delayed. I mean, players kind of started filling in about July 28, 29. They had to undergo COVID testing daily, test negative again to even get in the building. And this sort of ramp up period, that's why there are no preseason games. You know, to even get to the field Saturday, Tom, I know some people thought that may not happen, but, you know, the NFL released that I think they've had, what, less than 2% positive cases since testing began. The Packers currently have 5 players on the COVID reserve list as we record this. So, you know, the safety measures that they've started with, it feels like the players and coaches have adhered to them to the point where practices can begin on Ray Nitschke Field, Don Hudson Center, and later Lambeau Field.
Yeah, my sense through this whole thing, an argument that why I have a hard time believing they're going to get through it, is this is a 5-month season and you're asking guys to players who have young guys who have a lot of money and are used to being socially active, and you're saying for 5 months that 53, 69, if you add in the 16 practice squad guys, then you throw in the coaches, 27 coaches, and you're expecting them to all be not break any of the rules. And I think it's just unrealistic. So I think when we get into the season, then, you know, it's possible we'll see more spread, but right now they have a very controlled environment. They're not even really breathing on each other in practice, you know, maybe at the walkthroughs, I guess. It's interesting that they did decide they're going to test every day until at least September 5th. And, you know, if you test every other day, you leave a little bit of a window for someone to get the virus and start spreading it or be on the tail end. You know, it takes like 5 days for the virus to incubate, and you might be at that fifth day on the day you don't get tested, and then you start spreading it. So I think the fact that they're testing every day is helping them quite a bit. And we'll just have to see how it goes as time goes on, because they're going to be exposed to the community, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, there's for me, Tom, I guess I'm a little more optimistic. Go figure. Usually I'm the Oscar the Grouch in the trash can as well. And there's one reason. One, there are lessons to be learned from baseball. I think some of these guys are seeing, yeah, just going out can really affect things. However, you know, the players union for the NFL, Tom, agreed to allow their players to be fined for going out or breaking rules that honestly are stricter than some of the states they live in. And correct me if I'm wrong, if a player does break that rule, does contract COVID, and the team determines that's how they did it, they could be put on a special list where they don't get, you know, a non-football injury list where they don't get paid. And I don't know, man. I mean, Jimmy Graham talked to us because he didn't want to lose $20,000. Like some of these guys, yeah, I know, but
come on. I mean, human behavior is such, especially if you're, you know, a guy who's making a bunch of money, and the lure of going out or having family over, you know, to me, that's a huge risk, is that, you know, you have a bunch of family come into town, or you just decide, well, I'm going to go out to the bars this one time, and you let your guard down, and then you start and if you don't test positive, and then you start letting your guard down more. And they are not, if it's Aaron Rodgers goes out and gets the virus, they're not going to suspend him, and they're not going to put him, you know, they're not going to throw him on some list. You know, there's going to be some well-known players who just can't help themselves. Now, if a practice squad guy does it, he should be out on the street. You know, I mean, you can't have your practice squad guys going out and infecting the rest of the team. But I just think you can't stop human nature, especially over a 5-month period. You're going to let your guard down, and you're going to get used to some stuff. And there's going to be, I feel, I'm not an epidemiologist, but talking to people who are, there's going to be ups and downs with this thing. And there's going to be times when, you know, the virus is more rampant than others. And so, you know, I have a hard time thinking they won't at least be paused, and that they might have to restart in the spring. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
Talk about, we don't need to focus on that because we got to practice on Saturday. So that's a good thing for the NFL and our fans.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, we'll see. It's, you know, we'll preview what we believe we're going to see here. But what we don't know, Tom, is how Matt LaFleur is going to structure things here at the outset. I mean, how much 11-on-11 work is there? You know, is it, I mean, I think you could do your one-on-one stuff pretty early, even with your linemen. But that's that, with no preseason games, you've got this 3-week window to get ready for Minnesota, or 4-week window. So I guess, you know, you've done some reporting on what it can look like, some of the things Matt LaFleur wants to do to try to get the undrafted free agents, the first, second year guys up to speed. So what do you think we're going to see here in this first week or so of actual practice?
Well, it's a good question. I'm actually very interested to see how he structures it. It sounds, you know, I asked him about it the other day about how do you get the younger players the snaps they'll be missing. And he said that they're going to dedicate some time at the end of practice. They'll use all 2.5 hours, which isn't great news for us because we have to be there the whole time. But 2.5 powers, and you know, maybe they use the last 45 minutes to scrimmage with the young guys, and that's where they get their live reps as opposed to a game. So I think he's been thinking about it a lot, and I think what we'll see will be very in the beginning will be much like an OTA. It'll be, they'll be in shoulder pad, I mean helmets and shorts, and they'll run around and do drills and lots of fundamentals and some team stuff and, you know, seven on sevens and things like that. That's my guess is how they'll kick it off.
Yeah. What's the balance, do you think? I mean, I know this is unprecedented, especially the no games part. So with that, you know, Aaron Rodgers comes out and says there's going to have to be padded work and good padded work, which is so interesting because as the player rep, he was the guy who was pushing for less work and stuff, you know, early. But, and then you've got that whole, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself and hurt your own guys. I mean, we talk about this usually, Tom, with playing time in the preseason, right? This is such a different level of all these teams. And I don't know. I mean, some teams have already started practicing. Let's put it that way. Matt LaFleur elected to push this conditioning stuff a little further along. So to even shorten his window of actual practice time. So does that indicate anything to you? Like, does it mean he'll just be a slower go and maybe a little bit of padded work? Or do you think, giving him the extra conditioning time, he wants them to be ready for more competitive scripted sessions.
I think he's got a fairly experienced team. He doesn't have a ton of spots that are open, and I think he can afford to spend a little bit more time, I think, in the classroom. And I also think that I wouldn't be surprised if they've made some real changes to the offense, particularly, you know, the stress on the run game. And so I think it probably hasn't hurt them to do that. I think most veterans can get ready in 3 weeks. I don't think that's a problem. I do think there'll probably be a lot of injuries and things early on, but these guys don't play in preseason games anyways, hardly. And I think these practices are going to be more physical than we've ever seen. I haven't seen live hitting in a practice since probably the late 80s. And so I think we may see that. So I think everything will be sped up, and I think it'll be more aggressive than we're used to seeing.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the run game changes to the offense. That no doubt that phrase piqued the interest of our listeners. It piqued mine, to be honest, Tom. I guess conceptually, I'm fascinated to see the reintroduction, if you will, of the wide zone. We saw him work on it. And then we saw it go away basically, what, after 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And so I imagine that's part of this. So outside of that part, Tom, where are you thinking that we might see, as you said, real change? What does that mean to you, maybe?
Well, it's the emphasis. I think the emphasis is going to be on running a ball. And I think we're going to see a lot of play action. Lots and lots of play action. That's my guess. I think we'll see lots of motion, far more motion than they used last year to confuse some things. I think we'll see the use of those H-backs in ways that we didn't see last year. I think we'll see the tight end with his hand in the ground more often than we saw with Jimmy Graham. And so I just think those are going to be some of the changes. I'm interested to see them. I still think they'll have their wide open third down packages and no huddle stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're just cranking that that wide zone, you know, during camp over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think what might be of interest to the fans, and maybe they've picked up on this, when Matt LaFleur, you had asked him about installs, and he said they have been, you know, there was only virtual installs before, and he said in this ramp-up period, they have done it all. And then he said it's all going to be in for Saturday. And then he said after that, it's now it's just kind of going over it or whatever. So I guess what does that mean, Tom, to you when the head coach says that, in the sense of getting ready or having it maybe look cleaner than we might think it might mean? Or is that the benefit of, as you said, I mean, really the only starting change on offense will be potentially just right tackle and, you know, Sternberger moving in at tight end. So, I mean, it's a fairly cohesive group, even on defense. So well,
I think you have to hit this thing running, and you can't be like in a normal camp. You can't stop practice every 2 minutes and correct somebody or kick them out. I think you've got to be really efficient. And I think that's part of the reason why he's taking this extra time. You know, they did it install through the Zoom stuff during the off season. And they come back here and they Zoom the installs all over again. And now they're going to go out on the field and install everything from the beginning again. And so I think by the time they get in pads, he wants them to be very in tune with what they're doing. And then they could focus more on getting ready for conditioning, getting ready, used to each other, rather than worrying so much about their assignments.
What you mentioned the pads, if they had started practicing like some other teams, I mean, I think by rule, Tom, they could go into pads the 16th or 17th, as you know, if they wanted to, in terms of the
21st day. So I think Saturday is the 16th day. It's the 16th day after testing was completed, and then it's 21st day, no earlier than the 21st day for pads, I believe it is.
Okay, so the end of the week.
So yeah, they'll be in pads by Friday, Saturday.
Okay. I know fans are interested in that too, and when that may occur. We mentioned the scrimmaging of the younger guys and maybe some live reps. I do want to bring up the idea of practicing in an empty Lambeau field. You know, Matt LaFleur also said he's going to do it at night too, because they have some night games. Thoughts there. I mean, obviously it's smart. You want to, as a coach, you have no fans, as a quarterback. I mean, it's all conceptual when we ask these guys, oh, what's it going to be like? But I mean, think about the projection, the volume that these guys have to use on the field. That's natural to them. And then with no other sound, I'm just fascinated to see how that's going to go, what that sounds like. If it's like, holy cow, like everyone can hear our play call from the sideline.
They'll have to do a lot of different stuff. I also think teams are going to use a lot of hand signals. I think that's part of the protocol. I mean, I don't think that's enforced, but I think you'll see. I wouldn't be surprised. Rodgers loves to use hand signals, silent counts, things like that, that you may not even see them huddle traditionally. But yeah, the sights and sounds are going to be really interesting. I wish I could stand on the field. I'd love to be able to hear all the, you know, pads hitting and the guys talking trash and all that kind of stuff. But I do think it's really smart that they go into Lambeau Field. You got to get used to that environment. You don't want to walk into the stadium the first day, walk into US Bank Stadium, and you're just like shocked that there's nobody there and that the sounds are weird. And yeah, you need to have some kind of introduction to that.
Yeah, it's a new reality. I think it's one we'll have all season. I know the Packers are – probably piecemealing the fan idea there, Spoon. They said the first two games, I think we'll see that kind of continue as this goes on. And that whole thing is, it's going to be really, really strange. Watching Brewers games or Bucks games. I know they pipe in some sound, but we'll be there live. So it's a whole other
animal. Know, we haven't even heard anything about the regular season now. Right now, just so our listeners know, we have to be tested. You and I are, so that the team allows 10 reporters to be on the sidelines, and four of them have to be national, probably NFL Network and ESPN, all their partners who get to take our spots on sideline. But you and I are the chosen two, and we have to be tested every day. So we have a testing tomorrow. I just got the email at 9:15 Friday morning. We're recording this on Thursday, but by the time you're listening to this, we'll be getting a swab up our nose. So, it's going to be really different. And the players all have to wear masks. We have to wear masks. And we just don't know what it's going to be like come game day in the regular season. They haven't even started talking about that or haven't come up with any finalized ways. I think they just want to get through camp.
Yeah, for sure. And to follow that up, we'll be on the field, other media, in a limited select number picked by the Packers, get to sit in the stands, socially distant. From my understanding, from my understanding, we'll have another body there. One day, a couple days, will be photographers just so we can get some fresh pictures for everyone. Jordan Love, Josiah DeGuara, etc. The new receivers, and then someone else from our squad, Pete Doherty, Olivia Reiner, Ryan Wood. So shameless plug. I mean, you're listening to us, so a plug within the plug. Honestly, we will have the most eyes on training camp. This is going to be a really, in terms of visually and like for video, and it's going to be sanitized and controlled by the team and the league. We can't all be there, but we'll have the most people, I guess, is the right way to say that, Tom.
And I think a really important thing is, we're going to return that live camp blog where we'll tweet right into it developments on practice. And so it's a really good place to be if you want to know daily developments as they're happening. So we'll be cranking those out every practice. There's no fans. So I think that's going to be a good connection. To do a shameless plug, I would look for that live blog, and we'll tweet it out quite a bit, and it'll be on the webpage. Yeah. You'll find it really easily.
So in that blog and in our notepads, I do want to ask Tom, I know Saturday is a sort of an introduction, that's a day off, and then here we go. However, we'd already be deep into position battles, who's doing what. So I guess, is there a top, let's do a top two for each of us of what do you got in your notebook as, okay, this is the thing I'm looking for, or the position battle or the concept. What's maybe the at top of the list for you as we actually start the 2020 season?
I guess number one for me, I'll be looking at inside linebacker a lot. I think people are going to miss Blake Martinez more than they thought they would. They're going to kind of realize that he wasn't as bad as they think he was. And I want to see how that all develops. Christian Kirksey was signed to be a starter, and Oren Burks has to play there, and Ty Summers and will be in the mix, and Curtis Bolton, and I'm probably forgetting somebody else. Kamal Martin, they drafted. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time watching that. And then I would say I do want to see how their rotation of running backs going to go. Dylan, I'm really interested in seeing. Big back like that, different kind of guy. I want to see if he picks up on that system pretty quickly. So those are two things I'll look at right away.
You know, I'm really surprised, Tom, that you didn't want to throw a bouquet at my feet and say they're going to keep three quarterbacks like I said they would after the draft, our last podcast. I'm surprised you didn't.
They would have kept four if there was a full training camp.
I mean, three for the season.
So you're taking a what they call a Pyrrhic victory here.
I will take any and all victories, which leads me to my next victory over you. And I'm sure you remember. No, I'm looking at the right side of the offensive line. I know, obviously, Bulaga's gone. They signed Rick Wagner. And no one has offered any indication that, you know, Rick is just sort of the starting right tackle. And it's been, well, sure, Billy Turner can take reps there. And Lane Taylor's contract was restructured, and he was a starter to begin last season. And I know last year, Tom, when Billy Turner was signed, I even asked you, I said, is it possible he's being signed to be Brian Bulaga's replacement in a year or two? And to me, I feel like that could be a thing. I mean, especially if we're talking about a wide zone emphasis. I mean, Rick Wagner, a little bit of an older guy, some injury history. I mean, if Lane Taylor's healthy and looks okay, I'm curious to see if there's a new right guard, right tackle combo.
Yeah, I'm really skeptical about that. I disagree with most you guys on that whole thing. I've seen Billy Turner pass protect from the guard position, which is easier than tackle position, and it wasn't pretty last year. And Rick Wagner, for all his warts, he's going to get beat. He's not going to be perfect, but he's played that position, and he's a plug-and-play guy. And I think unless he's just totally on his last legs, I think he'll wind up being the starting tackle. I just have doubts about Turner. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, and I'll be the idiot in this whole thing. But until I see him, you know, consistently pass block, then I'll have my doubts.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there were definitely pass pro issues, and that's, as we know, that is very important with Aaron Rodgers back there. I guess the second thing I'm looking for, Tom, is you mentioned that the H-back usage, DeGuara, potentially Sternberger, I guess, but I'm just curious to see if Sternberger is that guy. Like we thought, I don't know who really truly thought Jimmy Graham was going to be great last year. But I guess we just didn't see it out of tight end. They brought Mercedes Lewis back again. To me, Robert Tonyan, I mean, it's year four for him, right, Tom? So I don't know what that is yet. But Sternberger, to me, I mean, is he kind of, you know, there's a lot of focus on the second wide receiver, the third wide receiver, but isn't it Chase Sternberger, Tom? Isn't he the guy that's going to be the quote-unquote number two if this thing is going to work pass-wise with this tight end and this offense?
Maybe. He's still only a second-year guy, and there's a lot of expectation with him. I was surprised at what he was able to do as a blocker last year, and I think that's what's got a lot of people excited. And I think he can do a lot of stuff with his hand down, you know, in that wide zone. A lot of that, you know, bootleg stuff to the tight end where he just comes across a formation following Rodgers off the play fake, and they just give him the ball and he runs with it. So I do think there's a lot of potential for them to have a big year. I just don't know whether, you know, he's going to make that big jump. He claims he always makes a big jump in his second year all through high school and college. And so Yeah, he could wind up being that second guy. They don't really have a true number two wide receiver. So, yeah, maybe he winds up being that guy.
Yeah, and of course, as we mentioned, receiver there, we'll see how that all shakes out. Malik Turner signed off the street, third-year guy, played 2 years with Seattle. Travis Fulgham claimed off waivers, spent his last year in Detroit. Didn't catch a pass, but apparently graded out pretty well on some run-blocking assignments. So, Goody, you know, added a couple more receivers that have some NFL experience. And one last thing, Tom, because there will be a cut. If guys come off COVID between now and Saturday, Brian Gutekunst will have to make a cut to make sure there's 80 on the active roster. But that aside, there are going to be more practice squad guys. And the practice squad rule has changed, right? Like, they're going to allow for more NFL experience to be on that practice squad. It's not just going to be UDFAs. So I guess, can you update any of us on that maybe, and maybe what that may allow the Packers to do with stashing a guy, keeping a guy, does it make the camp battles any more interesting because of that?
The bottom line is that teams get to keep 69 of the 80 guys they have in camp. That's an enormous amount of guys. They only have to really effectively cut 11 players. And teams are going to stick with the guys they had in camp because they can't scout the another team's players. There's no preseason games to scout them. So what I think you'll see is the Packers will keep, the 69 best guys, and some of them won't have performed very well in training camp, but they'll be worth keeping around. And then you'll see some guys who are there in case there's injuries or there's COVID stuff that goes on. I think it'll be an interesting, I am really interested to see what that final practice squad looks like. It'll be like a pretty diverse is my guess. But you think about it, just 11 guys. Normally they have to cut 37 before the season starts. So that's my biggest take out of that is they only have to get rid of 11 guys.
And just also finally, as we hit camp, Matt LaFleur said he discussed a quarterback quarantine. Here we are at the start of this podcast. We talked about the hoops they have jumped through to get to this point, to be healthy. And now we will see if they can stay that way. Does Tim Boyle go in a room? Because I don't think Aaron Rodgers would want to be separated. Do they put Jordan Love in? Do we see anything unique with the quarterback room? Or is that just something we'll just have to keep pressing the head coach about? Or if they keep all three guys, do they just figure the quarterbacks should be – responsible enough that maybe the Packers won't do that?
I don't know how you could quarantine a guy. And then he's not practicing. He's just hanging out and working out. I mean, how is that guy going to be ready? So your number two would have to be ready to play. So in that case, it would be Tim Boyle. And then your quarantine guy would probably be Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. How the heck is he going to get ready with no snaps in practice? So you put Tim Boyle as the number three and Jordan Love is the number two. Well, Tim Boyle's not getting any snaps either. It's not like he's Nick Foles or someone who's got all these snaps behind him. So I just can't see them doing it. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a great question. And who knows, maybe in their view, a quarantine maybe means – no in-person meetings for that guy. I don't know. It's interesting. So yeah, we it's finally starting, Tom. I mean, it is, mid-August, 16, 17 days from when we thought we would be on Nitschke Field kind of breaking this all down. And, football's here, yep. Right? And, we're going to be here for you now. So we appreciate your patience this offseason waiting for us to get back, and we'll we'll be working through stuff. Tom and I, we remain on Zoom. You know, we'll see as this goes on, our availability to each other in person at Lambeau or otherwise, but we will make sure we get this to you. Olivia Reiner, as always, will be directing and hosting our Facebook live streams after practices and kind of looping everyone else in as well. So make sure to, you know, subscribe to the Green 19 podcast over at iTunes, Stitcher, Android, Google Play Store, wherever. And I think, I don't know, Tom, I think we might try to push this over to YouTube as well. I know our YouTube channel is growing over the Packers News Journal Sentinel. So, you know, we're going to try to find all these ways to get this to you in a very unique time to be covering NFL football.
Yeah. And we are going to try to do one every day that there's a practice. So that's a little bit of a change. Instead of once every 2 days, we'll probably do some shorter ones previewing practice each day. And it'll give you a chance to know what, you know, to look for, or, you know, what we'll be following that particular day and giving any updates. So hopefully you'd continue to join us.
Yeah. And as always, subscribe, jsonline.com/deals, packersnews.com, and we will be talking to you in just a couple days from Green Bay and Lambeau Field. So for Tom, I am Jim. We'll see you soon.